KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We are only a few days away from the ultimate event in San Diego.
Yes.
That's right. San Diego Comic Con. Robots Attack will be there, but we've got one show before we arrive in San Diego.
That's right. That's this one.
That's right.
This is the teaser episode,
yes.
So to speak.
And, of course, before that, we had a little holiday over the weekend for America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you've heard of it.
The 4th of July.
Oh. I thought we were talking about America.
Well, yeah. Maybe you've heard of that, too. So, did you guys do anything fun for 4th of July?
Hung out in the backyard, my sister-in-law's backyard, and watched the kids run around with sparklers, although they were told to safely stay within their own spaces in the yard so as to not scorch each other.
How many scorchings occurred before that rule had to be made?
Thankfully, zero.
Oh, okay, good, nice.
Good. That's... So it worked.
Yes, it worked the first time.
Nice.
Yeah, for me, I was mostly actually helping parents out up north, so it was not like an incredibly festive July 4th, but I felt very useful, so I mean...
That's something.
That's
nice.
That's how you celebrate America right there, is being useful.
Did you see or hear any fireworks?
Not a one.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
I'm surprised because... Where I was, man, I think the whole neighborhood was, like, going off with them.
Well, it's a lot more densely packed in this area than it is up in that area. So, and there's a few really big fireworks shows that people kind of all decide whether they're going to go to one or the other instead
oh, okay.
of spending them at home usually. So,
fair enough.
Gotcha. Sounds like we all... Sort of did stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fairly laid back, but a lot of fun hanging out with people.
Did the hot dog grilling? Well, I mean, is it anti-America to do Polish sausages instead of...
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all immigrants, so...
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, see?
It's perfect.
You're...
They were very American buns, though. They had sesame seeds on them.
Okay,
maybe that's not... I'm calling that the most American bun right there, with sesame seeds.
Okay.
Pretty common.
I'm defining it.
Yeah.
Right.
Setting the precedent. Something like that.
So what about you?
Let's see. What did I do?
I saw a lot of activity on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. That was in the morning. And then, yeah, it was kind of like just a regular Saturday, but with like loud bangs going on at night in the background.
So fair enough.
I don't know if people on, because Saturday night I stream and on Twitch, and I don't know if people heard the loud explosions.
Oh, okay.
But
I didn't detect them over the explosions of the game, so.
Okay. I guess it sort of fit the Batman.
Yeah.
Was like fighting tanks, and there were explosions going off, so it was kind of like ultimate surround sound.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sort of, it's mood lighting for the soul.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, especially because... That part was...
A lot of tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were watching like, ooh, that's a lot of tanks. Still a lot of tanks.
Yeah.
And then the big one takes a bunch of hits. Man.
Yeah. It's like, at least part, favorite part of the game right here. Awesome for the stream.
You did well, though. You acquitted yourself quite nicely in that part, I must say.
Thank you. After a few several tries.
it's one of those situations where you get, one, you got to learn the patterns of the vehicles, and two, figure out how to make it work for you in your play style. It's like it's going to take a few tries.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like I said in the stream, if it just didn't take so long to like focus in and target the small little spot you need to focus on the tank to blow them up, it wouldn't be so bad. It's just like, come on, hurry up, circle, get smaller. So it like zooms in, and then like there's like six other tanks coming at me. Hurry up, like
Then you see the red laser lines. Like, no, the one of them spotted me. Dang it!
Yeah, dang it! I gotta get out of here. Cause
yeah, I know on E3, one of the developers was really proud of one of the challenge modes, that it's nothing but like a kind of a horde mode, except it's the Batmobile versus tanks, and you're like stuck in a little circle area.
Okay. So yeah, I think I know which one you're referring to.
So that's like your favorite challenge mode ever, then, is what I'm hearing. Probably.
Yeah, I'll probably either never do that one or wait till that one's like very end.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they have rated it, and I tried it a couple times. I was like, man, they threw a lot of tanks. And then I looked over and was like, oh, extreme rating. That would explain why this is so hard. But, yeah.
But, yeah, that's arguably the best thing that you can possibly do for 4th of July is go up against a bunch of tanks.
As Batman.
And his own tank.
Right.
Car thing.
Yeah.
Tank-mobile.
Yeah. It is kind of cool, like when it goes into battle mode, because it looks like the wheels spread, and they look kind of like, it looks almost like a Tachikoma from Michelle.
I see what you mean.
Not exactly, mind you, but it reminds me, like, oh, the way it moves and like skitters around corners and stuff. It's like,
yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. It has its moments. It seems like when it's the regular Batmobile, it's a lot better, and then when I have to turn it into the tank, it's like,
It's
not as, the moments in the game aren't as good, but just driving around the Batmobile and just smashing into people and stuff is just fun. But that's enough Batman. I talked about Batman last week.
Fair enough.
So, looking at our notes, I see something about a Super Jason.
Unrelated, but it was me talking about the movie Super. Popped up on Hulu, and so I ended up watching it. And it's one of the movies that created buzz for James Gunn to end up getting the Guardians of the Galaxy gig. And so I was curious about it, but I hadn't really like sought it out, and so when it was sitting right in front of my eyes, I was like, okay, I just got home from like a long trip without a whole lot of entertainment, so maybe I'll go ahead and watch this, like sit down at home, watch it. And yeah, it was pretty entertaining. It was not for the kiddos at all by any shape or form, but it's funny, like I'd heard a lot of people comparing it to I'm not sure I'm allowed to say the name of the movie, actually. Kick A, I guess. It's the same idea, but it comes at it from a completely different angle that I appreciate quite a bit. And that's the angle that this is somebody who not only is not acquainted with being a superhero, it's somebody who doesn't have any abilities whatsoever and is trying to figure out how to be a superhero without anything except the suit, basically. And all so right. You add the fact that it's Rainn Wilson as like the main guy, like possibly the most geek cred person that in existence today. Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. They ended up adding a sidekick that was kind of like, what I liked about it was like the Hit Girl character from Kick A, except without any of those obnoxious skills or talents.
Oh, okay.
just a whole lot of gusto, I guess.
Oh, okay.
She was very passionate about the job.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it ended up making for a really interesting movie. It was not at all what I expected, but I thought that was kind of a good thing too.
Nice. Yeah, I think I've seen it on Netflix, you know, flipping through stuff.
Yeah, and it has just about everybody from Guardians of the Galaxy in it.
Oh, wow.
almost everybody. It's probably not a big surprise that Gunn's brother is in it. I think he tries to put him in practically everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the grandpa from it was in it. Everybody down to like the woman helping take notes for Glenn Close, she was in it. So anyway,
wow.
There was a lot of people. So he seems to keep a pretty loyal group together.
When they were doing Guardians of the Galaxy, like, right. I got someone for that. Okay, I got someone. Right. I got someone for that.
Yeah, and it's funny, like a kind of a favorite of mine. I wouldn't have expected it, but I really enjoyed Rooker in all of his acting and his character in Guardians of the Galaxy, and so he has a role in this as just like kind of a random bad guy.
Oh, okay,
but. He's got more personality than the other bad guys, so you end up like kind of rooting for him in a weird sort of way, even though he's one of the bad guys.
Bad guys,
yeah. So yeah, it was an interesting movie. I recommend at least checking it out, but it's definitely got about 13 layers of weird plastered on top of it.
Okay. It's not your typical Marvel superhero.
No,
movie.
No. If you liked seeing Nathan Fillion as Captain Hammer, they have a sort of Christianized version of Captain Hammer in it that is pretty good with Nathan Fillion, sort of reprising his role, except, yeah, with more holiness.
Nice. A holy hammer,
right? Yes, time. Of course.
But is he from Antioch? Be the holy hammer of Antioch.
That would have been pretty good, but unfortunately, no. Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like kind of a knockoff superhero that nobody really respects.
Oh, okay.
But I guess is on like television late at night or something like that, and so. The Rainn Wilson character ends up seeing quite a few episodes of the live action show.
Okay.
And it inspires him in different ways. Either that or it's just like random comic things to throw in between scenes as he's like zoning out about stuff. So,
oh, okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
Well, I know, speaking of Batman and how I talked about that last week, another game I talked about last week, which at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You two guys hadn't finished yet, but yes. I think you have now.
Yes, yes. Episode 3 of Tales from the Borderlands. Catch a ride.
So what'd you guys think?
I cannot say enough good things about this series. Like I know that Telltale has like won awards before this game. And they've been very successful leading up to this, but like I did not realize just how well they would nail the look and the feel of another game entirely while still being a totally different game. Like I did not expect this, and I am I now like want to go back and like play all of their games. I'm like, these are awesome.
yeah I'm not gonna want it to end when it comes time for that to end.
Like, I hope
that's
they do
the
another
sad part.
Another season.
Yeah. Because we haven't heard anything more about them doing more of them. Yeah, I'd assume they'd want to if it was successful enough, and it seems like it's been well thought of, but who knows? You can't guarantee anything.
Yeah, like
this video game world.
Like Walking Dead was one of the few that actually had like more than one season, right? This MMX had with the launch, and they had like a couple of versions of those. I can't think of any of the like more recent ones that they had more than a season of besides Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing's come to mind. They haven't announced any other, you know, seasons yet for Wolf Among Us or anything like that. But and Game of Thrones is still going. So
right, right. Well, here I'm pulling for another Borderlands, Tales from the Borderlands, because
yeah, because there's two more episodes.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, it's a total of five. Yeah, I was like, I saw that number. Like, wait, no, that's too close to the end. I don't want it to end
yet.
Yeah,
it's like, is it over with? Oh, it's over. No, play some more. Yeah, I know. I'm so, because it stinks. It's like, not, I don't want to go into like spoilers and stuff, but I'm glad that we've made like a few different choices in the previous episode. So I'm kind of curious to see like, oh, so how did it play out, you know, choosing that person versus the other person, you know?
Yeah. There will be intense conversation after the show with us, I'm sure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they have like kind of a masterful trick that really like, it kind of doesn't matter ultimately who you choose. Like all roads kind of lead to Sarah, but it's that journey. Like it's still, there's still stuff that happens that, you know, will make it your own story.
Exactly.
But
it's kind of, it's not unlike playing Mass Effect. It all ends in Mass Effect 3, but how you get there, and how you define your Shepard is sort of how it works out.
Yeah. And then some characters, I don't know that, I don't know. Yeah, I would agree for the most part in that one.
As a general arc, there's certain decisions that affect things more than others, but like ultimately, it still has the one ending, or the one ending for your Shepard. Let me put it that way. There's
but I agree. I think we all can't recommend that enough.
Yes, the season pass is still an excellent deal right now. No matter what platform you're on, it's pretty much on every platform I can think of. So I cannot tell you to go buy it, but I highly recommend it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I really can't imagine somebody who isn't familiar with all of the characters not enjoying, just because the comedy side of things is definitely there. I think this episode had a little bit more lag to it than other episodes, just because it had a little bit bigger like central section to kind of connect the dots between how they're getting from one place to another. But yeah, the entire last quarter of it really made up for it a lot, in my view.
And I would say the new character they introduced, the new little character, is awesome.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm not going to spoil anything, but
one of the best chase scenes ever. Awesome. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, I'm really tempted to find out how that chase scene would have been different, too. Like, it'll be fun picking each other's brains to see if it sort of all ends up the same, or if it really changes how it all comes together. But I have to admit, like, this time around, I was disappointed in myself just because I got to the final statistics of everything.
Oh, okay.
And I was like so vanilla. Like, I was like 60% of every single thing, like in the green, and I just felt like incredibly normal. So I need to shake things up next time, wreak some havoc.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think most of mine were close to the averages of people. I think there may have been a couple that was in the lower percentage, but
Yeah, I think.
But my question, though, for all of you is, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not in your radio, what can you do? Well,
tell us.
You can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or in the TuneIn Radio app or website. Never be without the underground sound. And, of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU. That is unique to us on the globe. That is the best way to find us.
Yeah. That's right. And I don't know, because I don't own a PlayStation 4, but I do own an Xbox One, and I know that the TuneIn Radio app dropped on the Xbox One recently. I tested it. typed in KACU, found the station. So if you got a new console, you can even listen to us through that.
Sweet.
Try it out.
So before we get to our music break, last little thing. I mean, unless there was something else, you guys. I'm just kind of looking at our notes and all that sort of stuff.
No.
We can start moving on.
We mentioned the beginning of the show that a big event is happening in the middle of this week down in the city of San Diego.
Right. Southern California.
A certain little...
In the California Down Under.
Yeah. A certain little convention of comics and other geeky related things is happening down there.
They seem to think it's like the world's biggest one. I don't know. I can't verify that.
It's pretty big, but so as someone who's been a few times already, this is going to be your guys' first time this year.
Right.
So what are you guys excited about this year's Comic-Con? It doesn't have to be like specifics. You don't have to be like, well, this panel's happening this. I mean, if you know of something, go for it. But just kind of overall, what are you guys like hoping to get out of it? What are you like excited to do? What's...
Honestly, for me, the biggest thing, and I'm probably going to sound creepy saying this, but
the ladies?
I'm not, well, okay, partially. but yeah, since I've kind of messed around with it a little bit, and I really enjoyed it, and I've always regretted not doing more, just because I feel awkward, like, at my age doing it. But the cosplay stuff is, like, really cool to see what people have come up with. And people go all out and do really crazy stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that, probably more than anything, just because it ventures into my territory of skill set, probably more.
Okay.
But
we actually have a couple panels about cosplay on the schedule.
Yeah, if and Richard, there are... You think you'll try and hit those if they?
I'd like to. Yeah, we'll have to see how everything comes together.
Now, speaking of cosplay, I know off mic we'd kind of mentioned it and this and that. Are there plans to go cosplay?
I honestly don't have the time or funds to be able to do it this time around. So,
what about what you wore at Halloween? Do you still have that or?
I have elements of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, I'll make something and I'll instantly start nitpicking, like, all the stuff that I don't like about it. And so the stuff that I do like, I'll keep. But the other stuff, it's just like, eh, that's not really important to me anymore. And it was made of, like, quote-unquote cheap materials to begin with, so I don't feel like it's a big loss to get rid of the things that I didn't like as much as, like, articles of the costume.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I do have a large Warhammer Power Fist that I
could bring that with you.
I was considering bringing that with me, but I'll have to rework like the joints of the arms, and I actually got some stuff at work that I'd kind of like to plug into it because it would make it look really awesome. But yeah, I'll have to see what sort of time remains and whatnot.
Same question to you, Caleb.
I'm definitely going to hit Artist Alley. Artist Alley is one of my favorite parts of any convention, especially comic conventions.
Oh, okay. I was referring more to the cosplay.
Oh, cosplay. Before
you
got into
we don't care about the stuff that you want
no,
to
no,
do.
No. I was trying to branch off of that, and then you can move into...
Yeah, I might bring...
Yes or no. Are you going to or not?
I will bring it with me.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'll bring it with me. So yeah, my one of the things I'm looking forward to is Artist Alley. I've always liked Artist Alley. Having been trained in visual arts, it's one of the things that really appeals to me. And there's a number of people that I have looked up to for quite a few years that are going to be there. So I want to actually like say hello this time and shake their hand and tell them what an inspiration they've been to me. And there's a couple of other writing panels I was going to try and catch as well. So
That's cool. Yeah, that'll be nice for preview night since this will be the first year I've gotten into that. We'll be able to get in that. Like from just asking other coworkers and some people that have gone, like getting into the dealer area, like with not nearly as many people because it's just people who get into preview night. Like you'll should actually be able to go up to those artists and others, like, and spend a little bit more time like talking to them.
Sweet.
Than, you know, like on the other days. I mean, if it's like a super, you know, like if the artist isn't like super well known, mm-hmm. you probably like will be able to talk with them pretty freely.
During the show. Yeah.
But if it's like a super well-known artist, like this is, you know, this might, the preview night might be like the best, your best chance, and you can actually like talk to them a little bit more if they're set up there and everything.
Yeah.
Any particular artist that?
Yeah.
One of the ones on the short list is Stan Sakai, creator of Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, okay.
And an artist I more recently found in his does astonishing, amazing work is, his name is Nathan Fox, F-A-O-W-C-K. His name's funky, and his last name's a little funky. I'll have to find the spelling again. But he does, he specializes in conceptual art. Essentially movie pre-visualization, they come to the guy and say, hey, we have a scene that does this, looks like this at night. And this, like this, in a volcano, we need a color scheme for this. We need to find out how we're going to light this. What might it look like?
That's cool.
Yeah. He's going to have some books there. And he has a lot of really good work on online. He posts on Twitter pretty regularly. And his ability to paint with gouache makes me a little bit envious, because gouache is my most hated form of paint.
Does he do digital at all, or is it all natural media?
I believe he's still on analog media mostly, but
impressive actually.
Yeah, I think he does do some digital painting, but his primary medium, I think his preferred medium, I should say, is actual paint and brush.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know, are these gentlemen going to be just at Artist Alley? Do you know if they're going to be on any panels or anything like that? Or
Mr. Fox will also be doing two demonstrations of his work at one of the a booth. So I've marked that on my itinerary. So I'll try and catch at least one of those. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm still like going through the list of I got the app, and so I'm like scrolling through the list, going, "Holy smokes, there's a lot of stuff going on." Like, I know it's one of those times when you realize this convention's big. And then you actually start looking at what's going on. Like, this convention's really, really big.
It is perhaps too large.
Maybe just a little. It's like, I'm not certain. But yeah, I'm like excited. Like, I almost don't know what to do with myself. I'm like really so excited about this. I'm like,
I mean, it's nice to kind of plan your first pick, and then a backup, and then another backup. Like, okay, I can't make it to this one. I'll hit this one. Like,
but. Yeah, definitely. So what's on your short list of places to try and or personalities to try
the Star Wars Hall H? That's...
Oh man, I wish I could I wish I could go to that, but like
that would ruin like a day at least, right?
Well, it's like okay, Friday cuz Marvel's not there anymore. They typically take Saturday, like Saturday night.
Which is why I was surprised that Star Wars was going to still be there. I would have thought that it would be like kind of together somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm shocked. I guess they have more for Star Wars than like stuff for Marvel yet.
That makes sense.
So,
that's with as much as Marvel's trying to pull together their movies, they're probably like on a crunch schedule for getting all that stuff done in time.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder how much stuff they had to kind of retool on the fly because of recent breakthroughs with Spider-Man and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that probably figures into it too.
Yeah. But yeah, so Friday is like The Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. Just to kind of give you background, like The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, like those panels are huge. Uh-huh. Like they fill up Hall H. Like I've pretty much kind of given up like trying to go to those because it's just like
Fear.
It's too much.
Okay. And you think Fear is going to be more or less the same thing, or
because it's gonna be like The Walking Dead. I think then it's like Fear the Walking Dead, or like, you know, Game of Thrones. And then there's like an Entertainment Weekly like panel, and then the Star Wars one. Mm-hmm. So that is all Friday. So I just don't think like, because they don't kick you out. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that many people are going to leave like Hall H that day. Like I think there's going to be enough fans that want to see all of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That, you know, they'll sit, or and enough Star Wars fans that even if they don't like The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, they'll sit through all of that right. just to get into Star Wars. So it's mm-hmm. like, man, I would really like to go to Star Wars, but I don't think that's going to happen.
The I would suspect that the cross section of people, the Venn diagram of those three things is a pretty tight grouping of stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of crossover for at least two of those.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. But yeah, I always like the video game stuff that's there. I think there's a Tomb Raider thing that's going to be there, so I'll try to hit that.
Nice.
The Xbox Lounge is always fun,
mm-hmm.
especially like just to go in and just relax. Even
I'm actually really looking forward to that.
It's really cool. Personally. Yeah. Then I think they're going to have the Division there, and
excited.
Yeah, they're going to, and then yeah, so that's always mm-hmm. cool to check out, and then it's just fun like. To just kind of be like around in the atmosphere, like those first, like that first, it's weird. Like that first, like that Thursday is almost, it's not like the best day as far as like maybe stuff to see, mm-hmm. but it's that moment of like, it's not counting preview night, but mm-hmm. it's like, it just starts. So mm-hmm. this is like, man, this is the beginning. I got like 4 days of this, like, mm-hmm. this is so cool, you know, taking it all in. And then from there, you know, each day that passes, there's like less and less of Comic-Con left. So you're kind of like, it's still awesome, but in the back of your mind, it's starting to creep into you, like, this is almost over. It's almost over.
The sand like dribbling through the hourglass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. But yeah, I have a feeling. I think, I mean, I'll be curious to see like how much we end up like seeing of each other.
Okay.
You know, yeah. versus like, it's like, okay, meet me here if you want to go and do this or something like that. You know, I'm like, we'll check in later because mm-hmm. there's just going to be so much stuff that it's just like, if you want to go see something, like go see something. But
yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. It should be cool. And it'll be like, not weird, but just, I mean, this will be the first time like going with other people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's hard to express just how excited I am about this. It's like, I don't even know what to expect, but I can't wait to find out.
Yeah. Speaking of things that you don't have to wait, you can do it right now.
Oh, what's that?
There's no like waiting.
There's
in
no
line.
Okay.
There's no line.
That's good.
It's if you're an animal lover and you want to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you got limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates. It's a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Going back to Comic-Con, also what's going to be interesting is this will be like, the first, kind of thinking back to when they were talking about the new 52 and stuff, like
right.
both Marvel and DC just had like big events with mm-hmm. comics. And so they're both like, you know, coming out with new series and stuff like that in the fall. So right. I think it's going to be some big stuff this year at Comic-Con, you know, for both like Marvel and DC, I would imagine. So that should be interesting to see what they kind of announce there and show off, since, you know, for some people, it's like, it's a comic convention. There's all this other stuff here. You know, like, it's some people complain that it gets drowned out by movies and TV shows when it's
right.
a comic convention, quote unquote. And I think this year the comics are going to be a big presence, at least, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to fight it out at the very least for that dominant eye, I guess.
Yeah, we don't have Twilight breathing down our necks anymore, so that will free up a few halls and a few lines.
Yeah.
Nothing against Twilight, just saying.
You love it.
I can see the gleam of hatred in your eyes. Or is that just the diamond of your skin?
It's just the disdain with which I hold the storyline.
Okay. Fair enough. To each their own.
Mm.
I think it's a beautiful, beautiful love story, even though I haven't read any of it.
That's why it's still beautiful.
And watched one of the movies.
So yeah, anything else here? Are you excited about the food?
I didn't know I was supposed to be excited about the food. I'm much more excited now that I know that the food is a thing.
San Diego downtown, lots
of good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having some good food. There's one or two places down there that I've seen that I want to try out. I think it's called 50-50. It's a burger joint that does where the patties are half burger, half bacon. It's like, that sounds horrible and awesome all in the same instant.
Yeah, I might. If they have a small one, I might have to try one. But yeah, that definitely sounds like one of those moderation things.
Yeah, that's just all things.
Get a slider.
Moderation.
Right,
slider
yeah.
Slider version, play some sliders or something.
Yeah, we'll get a plate of sliders for everybody.
Yeah.
Not to say that a giant hamburger made of that wouldn't be the most awesome thing in the world.
Yeah.
Just try and protect your arteries.
Right, especially me. The rest of you guys, you're probably safe, but that might kill me.
Well, we'll get some decent exercise while we're down there.
Okay. We'll a lot of walking. I was looking at the map, I'm like, wow, that's a large space.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just walking to the Xbox Lounge and back to the convention is, it's a walk. Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
Yeah, it's excited. Funny, for me, my general way of just conducting life is to kind of temper my view, trying to tame my happiness for anything, just so I end up having kind of that optimum level where I receive things just perfectly. So that's why it doesn't seem hardly real quite yet for me, because I've gotten too good at that over the years. And so yeah, it's just like, oh wow, it's coming up.
I don't know what
to say about it.
It's this Wednesday.
What? No.
Yeah.
What?
It's like you've been looking forward to so long. It's kind of like Christmas. You get so excited about it. You think about it so much that but it's always over there. It's at the end of the calendar.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of summer. It's it's so far away. And then you're like, wait, it's tomorrow or this week? Wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get out of tempering my expectations mode. I need to officially graduate into excitable Jason mode.
What's throwing me off too is I'm used to it being more towards the end of July or at the earliest, the middle. But this is the first time.
Yeah, especially that
it's been really
so close
early.
To the 4th of July.
Yeah.
It feels really weird. I get two vacations effectively.
Yeah, two for the price of one, right?
Right.
Well, our road trip down, we'll kick it into the excitement gear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So.
I'm going to do nothing but the soundtrack to Top Gun the entire trip.
And nice.
I'm going to drive everybody crazy. But it'll get everybody excited, crazy excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
something like that.
What I'm going for.
Crazy is definitely in that phraseology somewhere.
Yeah. All right, well, if there's nothing else, I think we'll take our music break and then come back with some new releases.
That's right. And before we jump to the music break, one last thing. If you would like to act with us right now, live on the show, mostly live on the show, you can do that at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are both open in the background. We check them. We will give you a shout out and all that good stuff. If you interact with us, it's worth it.
That's right. Yeah, let us know if you're heading down or what you're excited to see, what you want to see, all that stuff.
Unless it's Twilight. Don't tell us about that.
Yeah, you'll have to.
You're too late. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you'll have to settle for Mockingjay Part 2. That's the closest you're going to get. So, all right, let's take the music break and be back with more Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara.
Woo!
We're going to jump into some new releases for you.
Hooray!
Alright, well, we're going to be too busy to see these, but maybe you can check them out. We've got The Gallows, 20 years after an accident caused the death of the lead actor during a high school play, students at the same small town school resurrect the failed stage production in a misguided attempt to honor the anniversary of the tragedy, but ultimately find out that some things are better left alone. If that doesn't interest you, maybe Minions. Starting as single-celled yellow organisms, Minions evolve through the ages, perpetually serving the most despicable of masters. Continuously unsuccessful at keeping these masters from T-Rex to Napoleon, the Minions find themselves without someone to serve and fall into a deep depression. But one Minion named Kevin has a plan, and he, alongside teenage rebel Stuart and lovable little Bob, ventures out into the world to find a new evil boss for his brethren to follow.
Who knew it was teenage rebel Stuart? I didn't know until now.
Yeah.
Ah, Papagena.
And then we have Self/Less. An extremely wealthy man dying from cancer undergoes a radical medical procedure that transfers his consciousness to the body of a healthy young man. But all is not as it seems when he starts to uncover the mystery of the body's origin and the organization that will kill to protect its cause.
Oh my.
Tell us some Blu-rays and DVDs.
Blu-rays and DVDs? Well, check out perhaps Five Flights Up on Blu-ray and DVD. An aging New York couple decide to sell their flat in the East Village, which they have held for 40 years. Their opening house weekend takes a sudden and wonky turn. As they try to keep up with the waves of events, that they reflect on their life together and their decision to sell their home.
Next.
Alien Outpost on Blu-ray and DVD. The last stand of humanity against an invading alien army is nearly forgotten outpost. A pair of documentary cameramen record the events around the last holding and how it may be the turning point in the invasion.
Okay, more interesting.
Threw me off there with the documentary film crew. I thought it was going to be, and the last band of alien marines.
Yeah, I kind of thought, that might be interesting. Then there's The Woman in Gold on Blu-ray and DVD, based on true events. This film follows one woman's push to reclaim heirlooms that were taken from her family during the Nazi occupation of Austria. She enlists the help of a young lawyer as she takes her case all the way up to the Supreme Court and the Austrian government.
Okay, that's probably better than I gave it credit for.
And I rounded out with Kill Me Three Times on Blu-ray and DVD.
Minimum.
I may have to approximate. I apologize to all Australians for this. In a surfing town in Australia, a most improbable situation is brewing. A young woman is the target of three killers. One is hired by her husband, and one is an unlucky gambler, and the last one is a self-styled local Lady Macbeth. And there's also a crooked cop, and Luke Hemsworth. He's a surfer who wants her to save the targeted woman.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't think it was bad, but I'm not Australian, so I don't know for sure. It might have been really horrible.
Oh, I forgot to mention that.
The movie?
No, I mean the accent. Well, maybe that too.
And Simon Pegg actually is in this movie as well as the assassin, the hired assassin.
Oh, it's that one. Okay. Yeah.
That just changed everything.
Yeah, I'll probably watch that one. Okay, meanwhile, in video games, we have nothing but PC games this week. Huh. That's how important it is. Okay. But I did write these to make them sound like really interesting, so hopefully it'll pique your interest. Okay. So, first off, we have Battle Fantasia Revised Edition coming out on Tuesday on Steam. Nations of steam and magic must stand together to fight off an ancient threat long believed defeated. Built by the makers of Guilty Gear with a wide range of expertly illustrated characters.
Well, that could be fun to look at least.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Amber Throne released actually today. The Amber Throne sits in a castle that now floats high in the sky. Ara has been given the quest by her now dead father to destroy the throne before it falls into the wrong hands.
Dun, dun, dun.
She will use a wide range of monsters, learning their characteristics and skills to reach her goal. And then finally we have Spectra. Release date on Friday of this week on actually not just PC, also Mac.
Oh, okay.
And for all you Linux lovers out there, this one's for you. always have to give the Linux people something to make them feel special. Otherwise, start writing and stuff like that. Anyway, music tracks are combined with procedurally generated race tracks to form a truly unique yet retro-styled racing experience.
Huh.
Yeah, that would sound kind of interesting.
That does sound pretty interesting.
Especially when I write about it. But that's it. I have nothing else. I can't write about any more PC stuff than that. Three is my limit.
All right, fair enough.
That's the absolute end.
All right, so let's move over to the land of comic books since we're going down to San Diego Comic-Con. Here's some that you might want to pick up at your local store, perhaps. Starfire, number two. Starfire, Florida area would be a tidy paradise if only there weren't so many darn bad actors around. And that's as in people that are...
Bad
not,
people?
Yes, not
okay.
Poor actors.
Okay. I was like, that's a pretty harsh indictment of Florida. I mean, I know they have another Hollywood down there, but sheesh.
Then across the country at Marvel, because now DC's in LA area, is Star Wars Lando number one. Before Cloud City, before the Rebellion, Lando made his way through the galaxy with charm and swagger.
Okay.
Then from Dark Horse, it's Rebels, number four. Seth is given a very special assignment from General George Washington. This assignment will require his full attention. And from Image, it's Saga, number 30. The description was very brief on previews. It said, sooner or later, everything dies. And that's
a truism right there. Except for rocks, they don't die. That's why I appreciate rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Never die.
And over at IDW, it's Star Trek / Green Lantern number one. A startling new page with the Lantern Corps and the United Federation of Planets as these two universes collide. Yep. Spock and Kirk along with Hal Jordan. And our fine friends at Wow Cool have a few recommendations as well. First up is Cheer Up by Noah Van Shiver? Shiver? I apologize, Noah.
Shiver sounds about right.
Okay. And then
or Seaver, maybe.
Seaver. That sounds... Looks... Anyways, Sam Harkham has a new one out called Crickets. And then there's Fantasy Sports by Sam Bosma. There you go. That has been comics for this week.
Nice.
All righty. Now wrap us up with some music. We've got Dark Matter / Dark Energy by The Membranes. This is the first full-length release of new songs from the British post-punk band since 1989.
Post-punk.
We've got Working Girl by Little Boots. Third full-length studio release for the British electro-pop artist. Features production from Calm Trues, Patrick Lukens, Ariel Richard,
Right
Jay
Shade?
Shaw. That's probably it. Jath Shaw of Simian Mobile Disco and MNDR's Peter Wade. We've got Perpetual Motion People by Ezra Furman, the third full-length solo release for the San Francisco-based indie rock artist was produced with Tim Sandusky. We've got Morning / Evening by Fortet, the two-track 40-minute album for Kieran Hebden as Fortet was created using Ableton Live software.
Hmm.
So there you go. A sampling of some new releases that are dropping this week.
Yes. And then we also got a tweet back from one of our intrepid listeners.
Whose
voice you may have heard before. A good friend of the show, Elaine, says she's with Jason in that... super excited about all this and having trouble wrapping her brain around just what it's going to be like. Although she draws a line at 8 hours straight of Top Gun music.
Oh, okay. We'll just do six. And we'll swap it from there.
Fair with enough. The orchestral score of Top Gun.
Right, of course. Is that
what you mean?
I'm sure we'll find all sorts of different variations of the Top Gun soundtrack. It is classic at this
remixes
point.
Remixes.
Right.
I'm sure there's someone that's done a
power punk remix.
Post-punk.
Post-punk power pop.
electro smooth jazz?
Yes.
Dubstepped?
Mm-hmm. Dubstep, that was the one I was looking for.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of things to look for, you got two choices for our next PSA. What do you want to read?
I'll do that one on the
you
right.
Do this one, okay. Because all the rest of the other S's are all expired.
Mm. The Tony Award-winning San Francisco Mime Troupe opens its 56th season of free shows in the parks with their new 2015 show, Freedom Land. The show runs from June 24th to September 7th. For a complete schedule and deeper description of what the show will be like, go to www.sfmt.org or call 415-285-1717.
Nice. All right, we'll take another quick music break and then come back with some news. Let's tease them some news.
Let's see. How about Legos not made of plastic?
What?
No. They said it couldn't be done. Well, I'm going to do robotic arms.
Roar.
Well, cybernetic arms, I guess, would be more accurate.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. And mine is a sexy gorilla. So there you go.
Is there any other kind?
Wow.
Huh?
We'll just have to wait and see. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara right after this quick music break.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are in the news. Let's give them some news.
Yes, this first story comes ripped from the headlines of 1983.
Wait, what?
Sort of. No, I don't even know if that year is accurate. But the Army was actually kind of motivated by them apparently watching the movie Aliens. If you're familiar in that movie and you're into all of the weird tech that's in there, there's a little gun in there called the smart gun.
Littles in quotes.
Right. A little large gun in there called the smart gun. And basically the intriguing thing at the time was that they literally mounted an old-timey World War II machine gun on, as far as the actual prop goes, mm-hmm. on a Steadicam
arm.
It ends up creating an automatically steadied very large weapon. So the bright people at the good old Army, they decided to try and figure out how to make this into something a little bit more current, and they used some of the exoskeleton tech that has been pioneered for trying to help people with light paralysis and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it in a direction that was completely unique in my mind compared to anything else we've ever seen. Instead of doing some sort of arm that makes it so you can carry some big, crazy, wicked, giant machine gun or mm-hmm. something like that.
So you can't so instead of strapping a chain gun to an arm, they've done
right,
something else?
Nothing like that.
Okay.
And instead of making it so you can go jumping over buildings in a single bound or anything like that, they've made an exoframe that just exists to help you fire a weapon better. And that's it. So basically all it does is steady your hand so that you can acquire targets and fire reliably on the same target without any extra flinching or anything like that.
Hmm.
And so the main thing that they're trying to, that they're thinking it's going to be useful for at this point is for people who are new in the military and haven't become completely acquainted with weapons.
Hmm.
It'll be invaluable for that. And so it's really like nothing I've ever seen before in my view. And it is literally just the same idea. It's attaching a Steadicam to your arm. It's just with the current materials that we have these days, like carbon fiber and whatnot,
right.
It would end up, because it's not trying to do like crazy heavy lifting or anything like that, it's not adding hardly any extra weight to you either.
Nice.
So you can be an effective soldier without some crazy contraption on you. It just literally helps you out, makes you a little bit better soldier with minimal extra problems added to it.
Interesting. Who knew that 1986 could inform 2015 so well?
Right. Was that the actual year?
Yes, 1986.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, that reminds me of like a story you did a while back about them watching Predator.
Right.
And the idea of the backpack.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
For the chain gun, like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember also someone that there was that push for the invisibility cloak thing that was also inspired by Predator.
Right. Yeah, and actually that one kind of works a similar way as far as how it looks too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the actual device at this point of time is called MaxFAS, of course, all in caps, because it stands for things and so on.
It's an acronym like so many things,
right?
In governmental facilities.
Yeah, they generally like the acronyms.
So it's not just going to, like, it has to run on a Mac.
Well, it's MaxFAS. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Very cool. So transitioning from devices designed to help you steady your arm to taking the things we already have and repurposing them into new materials, not unlike using modern materials to recreate other past sci-fi awesome. The wonderful folks at Lego, who have been making brilliant toys for years now, have decided that...
Without women in them.
Different issue. Not the one we're talking about right now, but also a very fair point. The Danish toy maker has been using ABS, or Arclonite... never mind. I'm not going to try and say it. But they've been using a petroleum-based polymer for their plastic base. And
basically the same plastic that they use for making the sewer pipes in your homes. That's the type of plastic that they use.
Mm-hmm. And because it's a petroleum-based plastic, it is not renewable. It is very recyclable, but it is not renewable. So they've actually... opened a new research division inside Lego devoted to figuring out what the new material for Lego will be. Mm. Now, this might sound like, well, just make a different plastic, but they have to be able to make it at scale. They make over a billion. That's a billion with a B, yeah. Unique pieces a year.
Jeez.
They consume over 77,000 metric tons of raw materials to make 60 billion Lego pieces every year.
Jeez.
Now, because it's 77,000 metric tons of material, they want to, like, and they are do have a side of them that's environmentally conscious, like, okay, we need to figure out how to be a responsible company in the 21st century. So they're hoping that, so the idea is to, by 2030, be entirely off of petroleum products.
Okay.
So that means they'll probably introducing it over time, and then by 2030 they hope to be like full line, top to bottom, left to right, all renewable plastics.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure it was probably informed also. There's been a run of stories lately where they're actually finding like big amounts of Legos washing up on beaches around the world.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, I'm sure that's something that probably plays into it also. They'd probably rather have that stuff just turn back into the nature from whence it came.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Compostable.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Meanwhile, would you like to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
And of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by doing a search for KSCU.
That's right.
Secondary pro tip, look for the apps on your favorite console. You might just find it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, Japanese men, watch out. Your ladies are getting hot and heavy over a sexy, sexy gorilla.
Okay.
A giant gorilla with brooding good looks and rippling muscles is causing a stir at a Japanese zoo, with women flocking to check out the hunky pinup.
Huh.
Shabani, an 18-year-old silverback who tips the scale at around 400 pounds, has become the star attraction at Higashiyama Zoo and Botanical Gardens in Nagoya. Striking smoldering poses, the movie model in Zoolander would be proud of. Quote, he often rests his chin on his hands and looks intently at you. Zoo spokesman Takayuki Ishikawa told AFP on Friday, he is more buff than most gorillas, and he's at his peak physicality. We've seen a rise in the number of female visitors. Women say he's very good looking. Shabani, who has been at the zoo since 2007, shot to fame after being made the campaign model for the zoo's spring festival earlier this year. Ishikawa said, adding that the ape's paternal skills are also a big hit with women.
Oh.
Quote, he's a father and he always protects and looks over his children. He said, zoo goers think his kindness is attractive too. Women have taken to social media to swoon about Shibani's rugged looks, describing him as Akimen or a hunk, and liking him to a male model. A recent flurry of tweets has made Shibani a national celebrity, with Japanese broadcasters NHK and NTV featuring the gorilla on popular shows. Quote, he will look you in the eye, and sometimes if you're taking photos, it will look like he is posing for you like a model, said Ishikawa. But he's the head of a group of five gorillas, so it's likely he's just watching out for them and keeping an eye on you.
I don't know why my brain automatically jumps to a gorilla, like, decked out in the long underpants, like the Calvin Klein ads from back in the 90s.
Yeah, there's a picture of the smoldering gorilla, so you'll have to let us know, ladies, or gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
if Shabani's got the looks.
If he's got what goods. It takes.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. Meanwhile, in New Zealand, relatively close.
Yeah. It's actually quite close.
Yeah. New Zealand has passed a new law that criminalizes something that has been in the news quite a bit lately. Basically, all of the flurry of problems that we've had in the last little while with Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, having people do either racist, sexist, or critical of religion or sexuality or disabilities has been outlawed on social networking in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting seeing how this is actually implemented, because it does have a lot of concerns about free speech and how they're going to monitor children on the internet, especially.
Yeah, enforcement of stuff like this is always the real challenge.
But it looks like they're actually forming a complete agency in order to work on this full time. And they're hoping to be able to, well, it looks like their goal is to try and team up with companies like Twitter and Facebook so that they will be able to pull things down within 48 hours of any sort of messages that are considered, like, distressful. And there's actually a fairly decent chunk of jail time associated with it. If you end up posting something like this and are convicted, it's about a 2-year stint in jail. Oh. And it actually goes up if you are found to have done this and it's related to a suicide. It actually goes up to 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a really interesting law, and it'll be I'm sure, studied quite a bit how it ends up taking effect, because it's definitely a step in the right direction, and we'll see how it all ends up hashing out in the future.
And where is this happening again?
In New Zealand.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Yes, interesting.
I don't think Caleb found it interesting. I think he's just saying that.
Right. He wasn't listening at all.
I was totally listening.
Just like one of, just like one of our listeners who tweeted at us.
That's right. Pop quiz, guys. Who's sexier, Buff Gorilla or Buff Kangaroo?
Oh man. Those two together, that's the ad campaign.
Mm-hmm.
In the long underwear, or is that just that's my weird thing?
I mean, it could be campaigns for lots of stuff.
Yeah, between the two of them, they'll like have like the market sewn up with attractive animals.
We're definitely gonna have to Photoshop something like that and post it on Facebook.
Perhaps. So from. From New Zealand to Los Angeles? No, to the Falcon 9 rocket. We'll go with the
There's falcons in New Zealand, probably.
I'm going with falcons as the animal theme.
Yeah.
So if you haven't been up on your space news, one of the things that happened recently was SpaceX lost another Falcon 9 rocket. Recently,
another one,
and yes, this one they have yet to determine, as of the writing of this article, what exactly went wrong.
Was it the barge?
No, it was pre-barge.
Oh, okay,
space travel is hard, kids.
Yes, it is.
They don't call it rocket science for nothing.
Yeah,
yeah, quite literally. it is unfortunately the third of these resupply missions that has gone awry. The other, beyond the loss of supplies and equipment, the other downside is that this particular module is also carrying 18 experiments put together by high school students.
Aww.
Okay.
They were more expendable than the real ones then.
The group that is putting together these experiments is called Student Spaceflight Experiments Program. And... they also suffered an earlier setback when an Antares rocket went up, make it to the space either. Although
the same high school group,
the same organization, but different group of students.
Man, these rockets are picking on high schoolers.
It's an unfortunate side effect sometimes. The
watch out, junior hires, coming for you next.
Right. We're coming for your science fair project.
Yeah,
most of these 17 of the experiments that were lost on the Falcon rocket have been reflown on a different SpaceX mission later last. So it's not a complete loss, but it's sort of like, this is why the idea of privatized space is kind of important, because putting all of that onto government shoulders can be difficult to bear, because governments are trying to keep all kinds of things together beyond getting a space program launched.
And they're well known for not having good shoulder strength.
Sure.
Yeah. They don't concentrate on their military presses very much.
The good news is like that all of the stuff that's been done, like, most of them are they try again. No one's giving up on the projects. They keep going.
I've given up on it.
One of the particular was about how to work of the was the was looking at the effects of microgravity on solder, like, because this ties back into things like manufacturing in space, because one thing they have found in microgravity is that the 3D printer that they sent up to the ISS is actually, they're finding that it's making better products out in space.
Oh. Okay.
Huh.
At least that's the initial impression, is that they're finding better cohesion amongst the layers of the material and stuff
metal
like that.
Metal 3D printing especially would do incredibly well in space.
Yeah, I'm sure that you know that would be a possibility. In this case, this particular one was about looking into solder, which is how your electronic components are attached to the boards which go into your devices. So not saying that
effectively metal 3D printing.
Very rudimentary low metal 3D printing. But so it's just kind of interesting, like where like students are thinking of some pretty far out stuff that can and probably will be done in space eventually as we move forward, especially with a mission that will go beyond our moon. Like the idea, like a mission to Mars, you're gonna have to think about stuff like this, like if they need to repair a machine or a device while in transit or once they land or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
what are all the little things that we might not really think about because we're on Earth,
yeah,
doing this. So I think it's really cool that there's openings for students to work with, you know, the doctorates as well, so that, you know, there's communication of knowledge going both directions and fresh ideas coming from one side and experience coming from the other. I think that's really cool.
Sound like a diagram.
There's a Venn diagram.
When the two meet.
Right.
And fuse together, you do the fusion dance.
Ding, ding, ding,
right. See, when two thought processes love each other deeply.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like Norway's getting another highway.
Yes.
But it's not the highway that you think.
Is it to hell?
It's not. No. And it's not for cars. It's for bees.
Oh, okay.
Bees? Bee Highway protects endangered pollinators. From flower emblazoned cemeteries to rooftop gardens and balconies, Norway's capital Oslo is creating a, quote, bee highway to protect endangered pollinators essential to food production. Quote, we are constantly reshaping our environment to meet our needs, forgetting that other species also live in it. Agnes Lynch Melvær, head of the Bybee, an environmental group supporting urban bees, which is leading the project. Quote, to correct that we need to return places to them to live and feed, she explained, sitting on a bench in a lush city center square bursting with early Nordic summer growth, with its sunflowers, marigolds, and other nectar-bearing flowers planted by bee-loving locals and school children. Abel's garden was, until recently, covered only in grass, but is now a floral feeding station for bees. Oslo's Bee Highway aims to give the insects a safe passage through the city, lined with relays providing food as shelter, the first such system in the world, according to the organizers. Participants in the project, state bodies, companies, associations, and private individuals, are invited to post their contribution on a website, poly.no, which maps out the bees' route across the city. So you can check it out and see the route on your computer or smart device. On the 12th floor of an ultra-modern office block in the capital's chic business district on the edge of Oslo, Fjord, a major accountancy firm, has covered parts of its terrace in brightly flowering sedum plants and two beehives.
Okay.
It houses some 45,000 worker bees, busily unaware of their smart-suited office counterparts enjoying their lunch just meters away. Quote, one should see it as a sign that companies are also taking responsibility for preserving biodiversity, said accountant and beekeeping enthusiast Marie Schedelbred. She convinced her employer to co-finance the project to the tune of, in dollars, about $51,000-ish bucks, along with the owners of the building. Quote, the workers live about 60 days, she explained with a glint in her eye. So there you go. Business is working with nature.
Busy as a bee.
There you go, see?
Well played.
Humans and animals can coexist together. They can work with each other. So there you go. Bee Highway.
I'm just imagining like somebody makes a mistake of taking a smoke break. Like,
yeah, that would be so good.
Don't use so that door. Good. They'll have to label doors with, like, an outline of a bee on them. Okay, this is quite possibly the most awesome story that I have ever come across.
But before you get to that, before, I want to keep the audience on the edge of their seat.
Right.
With that best story ever.
Yes.
We need to tell them about health fraud.
Okay.
Because the Food and Drug Administration advises you to beware of health fraud. Be suspicious of products that claim to cure many diseases without promised quick fixes. Remember that success stories are easy to make up. More information is available at fda.gov/health fraud.
This story, however, is not a fraud.
Okay, that's good.
At all. It may sound like it at first, but it is
guaranteed.
Effectively giant robot fight.
What?
Yes.
It's happening.
Okay. So after the U.S. Managed to beat Japan in the Women's World Cup.
Oh, spoilers. Not. Yeah.
Right. Sorry for everybody that TiVo'd it. So a leader of Japanese industry, Tsurubashi Heavy Industry, has accepted a challenge from its U.S. rival, Megabots, Inc., to a giant robot duel.
Ooh.
That's right.
So like giant robots and like fight each other and stuff?
Yeah. the founder, Kogoro Kurata, has been quoted saying, yeah, I'll fight, absolutely. Kurata and his team have built a 4-ton mech robot and went on to say, we can't let another company win this. giant robots are Japanese culture. So it sounds like it's going to be on. There's no actual date set for it. But the Megabot Mark II is apparently well known for it being able to wield paintball guns effectively, to which Kogoro Kurata had some other reactions, saying, come on, guys, make it cooler. Just building something huge and sticking guns on it, it's super American.
It is rather American.
Right. So he's angling for an actual melee fight between giant robots. That sounds really cool. I think that probably does give the edge to the Japanese robot, since it probably was actually designed with that in mind. But I'd still want to see it. Maybe like bonus points for who pulls off the most paintball shots, like beforehand or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What if they equipped it with t-shirts, like t-shirt gun?
Oh, that's, well, I mean, you'd it would have to be bonus points for people served by the t-shirt guns, because otherwise it would be like, well, why are you shooting t-shirts at a robot? Oh, okay. It's to like bind up the gears,
this is what they do. After they fight, then they do the coming together where they're friends, and
oh, okay,
the robot fires, the American one fires the t-shirts,
right,
and the Japanese one has to like swing and slice them with the sword.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's a nice touch. Nothing has been mentioned in the article, I must say, about any sort of swords or katana of any kind. But that would be a handsome addition.
They should come to us. Robots attack.
Kogoro Kurata's Tsurubashi Heavy Industry mech, I'm sure.
We're here to consult and discuss robots attack. I
mean, right, exactly.
Just
a more perfect story could not have been chosen for this show. I'm just going to say it right now. I win.
Yes, we all win. That one definitely was a winning.
No, me.
It was definitely a winning story. We'll give you that.
Can you, because I can sort of branch off this.
Please, if you can branch directly.
So here's, speaking of someone who didn't win.
Oh.
Have you ever wondered what might happen if a python ate a porcupine?
Wait, what?
Oh, that's not supposed to be funny, is it?
Well, wonder no more. One of these giant snakes, which kill prey by suffocating it and then consuming it whole, recently dined on a porcupine and didn't live to brag about it.
Yes.
On June 14th, a cyclist riding along one of the mountain bike trails at Lake Inland Game Reserve in South Africa, spotted a very engorged snake. And yeah, there's a picture of said snake in the article, wow. So you have to check it out. The snikela snapped a few photos of the gluttonous python, posted them to social media, where they quickly attracted the attention of locals who wanted to see the python themselves. Lots of people came to the park in the following days just to view the swollen snake, according to Jennifer Fuller, general manager at the game reserve. At the time the photos were taken, no one knew what the snake had eaten, just that it must have been something fairly large. On the Lake Edland Game Reserve Facebook page, park staff and visitors speculated as to what the snake may have swallowed for dinner, suggesting everything from a small warthog to a baby impala to an errant child. That last one was posted as a joke.
Oh, okay.
But on Saturday, June 12th, park rangers found the python dead near the bike trail. They decided to cut it open and have a look inside. What they found was one heck of a snack, a 30-pound porcupine.
Nice.
That is not a small animal.
No. It's unusual.
That's a lot of pine.
Yeah. It's unusual for pythons to eat porcupines, Fuller told Live Science in an email. In fact, many species of snakes eat porcupines and other horned or quilled animals. According to a study published in 2003, and while a 30-pound meal might sound like too much to digest, it isn't if you're a python. As Fuller noted, pythons in the Lake Edland Game Reserve have been spotted consuming even larger prey, including adult Oribi antelope, which can weigh nearly 50 pounds.
Hmm. Whoa.
Pythons possess the incredible ability to alter their metabolism as well as the size of their organs after a meal. And yeah, this has like
did not work out well.
No,
I didn't. Well, that ended poorly for that snake.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll post it. And so yeah, sadly, the snake did not win. I guess nor did the porcupine.
Right,
everyone sort lost to that case.
Yeah,
porcupine
won by dying.
Right. Like, well, if the porcupine was playing Destiny, and he got a postmortem award off of it, so that's good.
Yes, sure.
Right.
If you circle of life.
Right.
Even
more stuff for other things to eat.
True. Tangenting from that in no way, shape, or form. getting back to one of the other interesting topics that's been coming up lately in gaming and other related news is the idea of inclusion, trying to make the sciences and technology area fields more welcoming for those that are not dudes. And
whatever.
Yeah,
dude, come on, we're trying to work here. But recently there have been several groups that have started camps for special like summer program stuff that focus on taking all girl groups and kind of teaching them the basics of how product management, app development, and code and design work together.
That's cool.
Yeah, it actually is really cool. And one of these groups had,
they don't make them wear like pink shirts or anything, do they?
Not unless they brought the pink shirt from home and it was already theirs. I don't think there's any forcing of that.
Yeah.
But the
or purple or teal, I've heard those are other supporting colors.
I'm sure they get to wear whatever shirt they happen to be wanting to wear. But they released the game into the app store, several app stores.
That's
actually
cool.
Oh, nice.
It's not very expensive, but they are available, and the proceeds part of it goes to the camp, and part of it goes to the team of girl developers.
What was the name of it?
The name of the game is The Whole Story, and that's whole as in like a hole in the ground.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Wait, and so it's on what app store?
I believe it's on all of the app stores.
Okay.
The two major ones anyways. It's the camp is called Girls Make Games, and it's designed for girls ages 9 to 16. So there's a range.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think it's the first of this camp with this particular bin. There's a couple of others that teach similar stuff, but they've made
made apps as opposed to games. So one of them's like a quiz app from App Camp for Girls, but one is Girls Make Games, and this trying to help get people involved, other people besides guys involved with creating and making entertainment, software entertainment for people. And I think that's very admirable and very cool. And you can see what they've made in your local app store.
Nice.
Yeah. Say the name of it one more time.
The Whole Story. And okay. That's whole, like hole in the ground.
Nice. Yeah. I've heard talk that, coding will be commonplace amongst the youngsters in the not too distant future, is, you know, like just everyone knowing a little bit of code, just kind of, as sort of the next thing, is since everyone's growing up with the internet now, that like just learning a little, having knowledge of a little bit of code will be so commonplace amongst everyone in the near future. So
yeah, Mark Zuckerberg recently was quoted as saying like people will know about writing code like we know about reading, writing, and science. So it'll be just like another thing that we have as what we learn every day.
Yeah,
so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, unless the devil comes and takes us away.
But there's that.
Yeah. So all right,
maybe you I'm putting up a fight. I got rocket launchers and
my t-shirt guns.
At least two of them. That guy hates t-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, my weakness. How did you know?
I demand three-piece suits. Guns.
Who do you think I am? All right, I will wrap us up with this day in history. We've got, going back to 1535, Sir Thomas More was beheaded after refusing to join Henry VIII's Church of England.
Whoa. Yippee!
Then we jump to 1885. Louis Pasteur successfully treated a patient with a rabies vaccine.
Whoa, Nelly.
Oh, all right. Well, a little better news. Mm-hmm, you know, No one seemed to lose their head.
Success!
And then we jumped to 1942. Anne Frank and her family sought refuge from Nazis in Amsterdam. Then 2 years later, a fire caused by inept fire eaters in the main tent of the Ringling Brothers Circus in Hartford, Connecticut, killed over 160 people.
Oh. Wow.
Then in 1957, Athena Gibson won the Wimbledon women's singles tennis title. She was the first black person to win the event.
Hey.
Then in 1997, we get in the 90s, the Mars rover Sojourner rolled onto the Martian surface. And then 1 year later, man, why does it always end on like bad news? Okay, 1998, Roy Rogers, the king of the Cowboys, died.
Oh.
I mean, not like I was a huge Roy Rogers fan, but always it seems like, can't they like...
Well, maybe that's good news to somebody. I don't know.
That's a down note. It's a little sad.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, well. Can we go back to one of the happier ones? Repeat that.
Athena Gibson won the Wimbledon women's singles.
Woo!
And Louis Pasteur successfully treated a patient with a rabies vaccine.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Best for last.
Those were good.
Best for last.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's gonna do it for tonight's Robots Attack.
Yes,
we
that
hope
was great.
You enjoyed the show. We will be back possibly next week if we are not like extremely tired from the trip back from Comic-Con. We'll do our best to
be
pop
asleep,
on
probably,
but. I think, though, what we might want to do is save our Comic-Con talk for an Around the Water Cooler episode.
I think that'd be a good one.
Kind of, you know,
at the very least, the bulk of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe mention a few things on the regular show, but save it for that.
Yeah, so I think that's a good idea.
Check it out. But, all right. So, yeah, we'll be at Comic-Con this week. If you're going to be there, like I mentioned, hit us up.
Facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme or hit us up on email robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
That's right. And of course, if you like the show, tell a friend, help mm-hmm. spread the word. We're trying to grow the audience,
yes.
make the show better. Tell us how you think we can make it better. Or, you know, if you think it's perfect the way it is, we'd like to hear that as well.
Yeah.
We're open to everything.
Yeah, you can.
We're all beautiful, unique snowflakes.
Yeah.
Put a link to robotsattack.me, our website, and your social media of choice, and hashtag it with Robots Attack Show, and we will keep an eye out for it. We appreciate all of your participations.
That's right. All right. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch you next time. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon, Veronica, Misto.